We formally call it a vision or not, each of us has a vision. For example, when couples get married, they think of how life should go for them, or at least they plan for it, right? You imagine life a certain way. It's called a vision. When couples have children, when you have a baby, you imagine what this child would grow up to be, and you strive towards it. It's called a vision. When people find new employment, when they get a job, they think about how this new role might bring meaning and purpose to their lives, and you work for it. It's called a vision. Even when people retire, they imagine what retirement would be like and they'd work towards it. It's called a vision. In very simple terms, a vision is how we think something should go long term and the effort we put into making that become a reality. Without a vision, there's nothing to look forward to. The season of Advent reveals a vision. It's God's vision. It's about God's vision for humanity and for the world. And Advent is a time, these 4 weeks that we have, is a time when we connect with God's vision for the world. After all, it's God's world. God created the world and God created us, and we connect with what did God imagine this creation would be like. So I want to reflect upon God's vision. And how is it that we, or the role that we play in making sure that God's vision becomes a reality. So here is my first point, the vision that God has. Today's first reading, if you heard from the book of Isaiah, begins with the words, on that day. And the reading ends with the words, on that day. There's no better way to talk about a vision than with the words, on that day. On that day what? On that day, Isaiah says, a shoot shall spring from the stem of Jesse. Now Jesse, this name, Jesse was David's father, and Jesus was born of the family of David. And so really, Jesus is connected to Jesse. So shoot shall spring from Jesse. Isaiah was talking about Jesus on that day. What else on that day? Hear this very carefully. It was already read, but may I re-emphasize that. On that day, the wolf shall be a guest with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion shall browse together with a little child to guide them. The cow and the bear shall be neighbors. Together their young shall rest. The lion shall eat hay like the ox. The baby shall play in the cobra's den, and the child lay his hand on the adder's lair. There shall be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. It's a beautiful vision. It's very different than what we experience in our world. The lion does not eat hay. Actually, it eats the ox that eats the hay. Right? So very different world. God's vision is of a world of peace and harmony and gentleness and kindness. It's a very beautiful existence. This is God's vision. On that day, the world will look very different than it looks now. Jesus came to make this vision of God a reality. That is Jesus' main mission on this world. The vision that God has for the world is brought to reality. And of course, you and I know that story. It's a complicated story. It's a complex story. But this is what Jesus was trying to accomplish. Now, where do we fit in all of this? And I'm calling my second point an invitation. The vision that God has requires human cooperation. So Jesus came to show us how we can make this vision a reality. And once again, I want to begin with Isaiah, who in today's first reading talks about the effort that must go into making this vision a reality. See what Isaiah says, talking about Jesus. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Very important. The Spirit of the Lord. Jesus is anointed. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. What kind of spirit? A spirit of wisdom and of understanding. A spirit of counsel and of strength. A spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. Now, those of you who are very catechetically aware, you know that these very gifts are the gifts that we receive in confirmation. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is the passage where that comes from, right? This Spirit will rest upon Jesus. And guess what? Guess what? At our confirmation, we receive the same Spirit. We teach our children the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit are wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. Each one of those gifts rests upon us. If this is true, if this is true, then God's vision for each one of us is to replicate who Jesus was and what Jesus did. Because Jesus and we have the same thing in common, the same Spirit rests upon us. John the Baptist emphasizes that further. He says in today's gospel reading, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and power. And has that come true? Yes, at our baptism and our confirmation. We are invited. And this is where Advent, during Advent, where rubber hits the road. During Advent, we are invited to understand God's vision and ask ourselves the simple question, how can I make that vision a reality? How can I do it like Jesus did it? There are two dangers. The first danger is to envision a world which is contrary to that which God intended. So, I mean, think about the big wars in our world, right? The Second World War in particular, think about Hitler for a moment. His vision of what the world should be was very different. He carved out a very different vision than what God would want. And this can happen today. It happens today. The second danger is to work contrary to God's vision in our families and in our world. For example, when we fail to work for reconciliation, for peace, for goodness, for compassion, for love, then we work contrary to the vision revealed by Isaiah in today's first reading. Here then is a practical implication for this point. Folks, Advent is a time for us to align our vision with God's vision for the world. And not to do so is to hamper God's vision from becoming a reality. So in this week, please think about, dear God, let me think like you. Let me think like Jesus did. Let me talk and act like him. Now, the third point, you might ask, so what can I do this week to make God's vision a concrete reality? John the Baptist in today's gospel reading gives us a very simple, easy way to do that. Easier said than done, nevertheless, it's a very easy way to do it. There were people coming to John the Baptist, and he called them a brood of vipers. Some people are coming and asking him, well, what can we do? And he says, you brood of vipers. And the reason he says that is because these Pharisees and Sadducees, they were working contrary to God's vision. What Jesus was trying to do, they were trying to oppose. So these people are working contrary to God's vision. So the no-nonsense John the Baptist lays out the vision for them, and he says, this is the effort you need to put. He says, produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. Produce good fruit. How do we know what good fruit is? Think about Jesus for a moment. Wherever he went, what did people experience? Hope. Nobody met Jesus face to face and felt condemned or rejected. Nobody. Yes, there were people, the arrogant, the proud, the powerful, they felt very uncomfortable because Jesus was preaching a completely different vision. But the people who experienced his compassion, his love, his healing, when they left, they felt hope. Ask yourself, when you enter into a home, when you enter into your workplace, or when you leave, what is it that people are left with? After you've left, have people felt more hopeful than they were there before? Do people feel closer to God when we are with them? Are they feeling the mercy, the compassion, the love of God? Folks, it's not just about doing acts of charity, they're important, but it's about who we are to the world. Are we a sign of the hope, the compassion, the mercy, the goodness of God in our world? And this is the challenge for us during Advent. John the Baptist saying to us in this community, produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. You want something to do this weekend, this entire week? Produce good fruit. The little booklet that our adult faith formation people have produced, it's called the Advent Peace Challenge, is one good way to do it. If you haven't gotten one, it's sitting in our, for each day, based on Pope Francis's words in the gospel, we are trying to figure out how we can bring peace in our world. I hope you're already doing this, but take that challenge. It's an amazing way to bear good fruit. As we celebrate this Eucharist, we remember that the Spirit of God has been given to us, and Jesus also gives us the Holy Spirit in fire, but Jesus gives us more. Jesus gives us his own body and blood. So we are not helpless. We're not weak. We have the same Spirit that Jesus had, and we have Jesus himself to help us produce good fruit as evidence of our repentance. May our second week of Advent be fruitful. This is my prayer for you and for me. People of God said,